Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, we'll continue here with E3 2019. And Pete, it's been a crazy day today, and I don't know what you're doing, but hello, what's up?
No, man? The way you phrased that made it seem like I was crazy, and I was wondering where you were going to go with this.
I'm saying that today has been a crazy day for us.
Today's been hectic, but enjoyable. Like it's the grind. We're back in it, and it's. I think it's gotten to the point where it's just a comfortable.
Yes.
A comfortable flow. We know it's organized chaos. But I think we thrive on that, mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. It's fun.
And we have a couple of special guests here, man. And who would like to do the first introduction, man? Go for it, man.
Sure. Hi, I'm Remy Ransom. I host a show called Bombshell Jackets. It's about The Division and The Division 2. But I do a lot of other stuff, too. But
cool.
That's it.
All right. And you?
I'm Sage. I'm on the same podcast with Remy.
All right, and I know this is not your first E3. This is your second, I believe. Second?
Yeah.
Second.
So how was the experience for this year compared to your first E3?
As a newbie, this was an experience. Like, mapping everything out, and we got multiple podcasts to kind of get information for, not just for The Division, so we're trying to fit in as much as we could. It's been a learning curve, but next year is going to be better. We learned a lot this year.
That's good. That's good. Well, you guys got to talk about the program from Ubisoft. I know there was a lot of gamers, content creators especially, that got invited from all around the world here to E3, right?
Yeah, the Star Player program is kind of a weird community outreach thing they do. And they find people that are content creators that, you know, they don't think that they're noticing, and then they get noticed and sent here, and it's a big deal for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those reaction videos. They're like streaming. And somebody was like, hey, check your email. I'm like, what is this?
Sage here has like the most famous one internally at Ubisoft, I've heard, because like he's just like in tears as he's reading the email, because it was like,
no way.
Yeah.
So wait, that was on video, like, or that was
on the E3 pre-show last year.
No way. Yeah. Tell us about that. Like, how was that? Like,
oh, it was crazy. So they waited until I was streaming, and then they popped in. And all of a sudden, you read in chat, and there's Ubisoft pops up, and they're like, "Hey,
like the official
oh, Ubisoft."
Wow. That wasn't like some like ghost account. It was just Ubisoft.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really Ubisoft.
Oh wow!
And I'm like, Ubisoft. Hey, what's up? We hear you're going to E3 this year, and at the time, I'd already planned on going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
Wow, the word is going around town.
I am?
Yeah.
And, well, we've got an email for you about that. And it took a second, because at that time I'd heard that there was another friend of mine who was invited to be an Ubisoft Star Player, but I didn't know what that process looked like. So you see me processing this on the stream, just completely dumbfounded. And then I'm like, hands to my face.
No way.
Tears. Yeah, that was a big moment. Like,
it was one of those, like, I made it.
Yeah.
That's the best feeling in the world, man.
And it wasn't just the Ubisoft account. The personal accounts of the Ubisoft crew were in there. So it was full of Ubisoft people.
Wow. That is so cool.
It was a great feeling.
Man, so they captured that clip and posted it on the briefing for Ubisoft?
Alan Jennings, who runs the program, he's UB_AJ1 on Twitter. What he does is I didn't know this was the process when all these streamers were getting chosen, because my experience is far different than Sage's. But so what he does is he gets all the people that are in the Star Player Discord from the previous years, and he says, add everyone, hey, we're going to raid so-and-so soon. Get ready to be in the chat.
Oh, snap. That is so
like,
cool.
All of a sudden, like, somebody who only has like 20 average viewers has like over 70, like easy.
Yeah.
And one of them we went to had like, I think it was like 200 people in there, which Ubisoft and Star Players, like, you know, saying congratulations, welcome to the family. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was kind of interesting. My experience differed greatly. My wife Tinks is a way bigger content creator than I am. She got big in the Destiny community, and everybody knows her for her like bright red hair and everything else. But
yeah,
she got an email And then she said, oh, well, I was going to go with my husband. Can he stay with me? And they're like, no, we don't do that. And then, like, they all found out who I was because I edit the podcast. And I'm very small. Like, you know, I talk my opinions and say what I say and make a good joke once in a while, and that's it. But so she got a Twitter message from Alan Jennings saying, hey, have your husband check his email box. And that was how I found out I was a star player. It felt so bad, but it was so funny at the same time. And now me and Alan are really good friends. So
yeah, but that's cool. I'm happy to hear that, man, that that pretty cool experience just happened and it was captured on video, man. So so now I got to go back and search, man. Like, I want to see that, man. I'm very curious about it.
It's
so.
There. The full video is there, too.
We have a GIF.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's a GIF.
Yes.
Oh, man. That one after the show. There's some emotes as well.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Don't be sad, Sage.
Yeah, and then it's like him like just boohooing. It's the best. Yeah,
so the reason why I wanted to get you guys here is I knew they were going to announce something of the Vision. You know, I thought it was one, they were only going to show episode one, but no, they show multiple episodes and a little teaser of what's next after that, man. So what are your guys' opinions about...
Before we get through that, I need to ask, what are your guys' thoughts on Terry's hair?
Oh, yes, go for that.
Because that was the first thing I asked him yesterday when I interviewed him. And
super random.
And like I was like, that caught me off guard. And I heard the voice and I was like, all right, face, hair, where is it? It doesn't compute. And then we talked about it yesterday on our interview. But
That was supposed to be our interview before we came here, but he ended up getting booked solid through the night.
Oh,
so.
No.
Terry is a very nice man. I actually told him his hair looked great and I still recognize him. And he just looked, he looked at me and he patted me on the back and he says, you're too kind. So, you know, it's nice because like I said, I met him through the Star Player program and, you know, it's nice that I can call him friend. You know, I don't ask for any favors and I'm just like, hey, how's it going? You know, stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, so he looked good.
He did look good.
He looked very, you know what he looked like? If Bruce Banner was about to become the Hulk and was listening to podcasts, like that one meme that you see on the internet, like he had like the glasses and like the no mohawk. It was like he was
so when he came out on stage, like I can't remember if it was Paris or you that said he looked like the last minute, like what he had to do with his hair.
That was me.
That was you. He said something to the effect of like, okay, it was like 2 weeks before or like two hours before going on stage. Like, hey, by the way, you're gonna have to cut your hair and look presentable because you're presenting for the division. Yeah. This is the best we could do, right?
Yeah.
It was a short period of time. Yeah. But going back to the announcements from yesterday's press conference, what are your thoughts? Like, are you excited for what's to come?
Yes. We thought it was going to happen differently than it did. And we were pleasantly surprised that it was the Spear on stage and not Julian. Cause we thought it was going to be Julian and a big word was going to be behind him. That was survival. Like we had an entire episode about this. And
okay.
So that didn't happen, but, Terry was on stage and I think Terry has a great presence, especially as a creative director, and he knows his stuff and he's very knowledgeable and creative, which he has to be. But you know, the cool part about him is that, you know, when you talk to him, he's just a regular guy. Mm-hmm. So I think having him on stage actually did well with what they were doing.
Cool, cool. And what you think about the content that they showed? What's next for the division?
Well, like I said, we had some other expectations, but I think we were still pleasantly surprised that the thing that stuck out most to me was going back to New York City.
Yeah.
Hopefully putting a cap on that storyline. I'm a big story nerd. You don't see me PvP much in the division. So
yeah,
we get those morsels of storyline coming back. That's where I'm at. So going back to New York and possibly confronting Keener, which is not confirmed, but I mean,
all signs are pointing to
it. It feels like it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So continuing that on is exactly what I wanted from the beginning since Division 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that the first time I know, I was like, wait a minute, outside of DC, because originally we were at the event in Washington DC and they mentioned that, but I thought it was going to be like a location near DC, you know,
Baltimore,
away from
Maryland
the city
or something.
Yeah. But I was like, New York? Nah. Like I think
Burlington
Paris
or something, because it's right there.
Paris mentioned that one time, like, hey, you know what? Take it back to New York. I was like, yeah. But I was like, nah, it's not going to happen. So then I can't remember where the location, but there was posters that had a date and it says New York City. Or going back to New York City, something like that.
Yeah, we talked about that on our
and
show.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? They are going to take it back to New York City. I even went online, researched, saw videos of people talking about it. So that's
hashtag
cool.
Danny Secrets.
Danny Secrets. But I didn't know they were going to go to multiple locations. Not only New York City, but multiple locations. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. Now, one thing I'm a little disappointed. I thought the raid was going to happen in the Pentagon, not a regular mission.
Yeah, I think we assumed that as well.
Yeah,
I don't know where did they announce where it was going to actually happen, because I think I talked to Terry about that, and I asked them specifically because I was under the impression that maybe they were going to drop another raid for every episode.
That's
right?
What I thought.
I thought about it after I asked it, and I was like, wait a minute. Why do another raid so soon after getting all the backlash from Dark Hours, right? So just spend your time refining, updating, maybe even working on LFG or some kind of matchmaking solution to maybe encourage or entice more players to try and join and play the raid. Because that number of completion outside of those 3%, if even that number of hardcore players, I still haven't finished it.
I haven't finished it either.
I haven't finished it. I'm the only one that hasn't.
Yeah.
No, I meant the last boss. But I got stuck doing yard work because our son. Tinks is like, honey, you need to finish all the lawn.
Okay. Yeah. But I think that was the plan. Maybe every episode. Because originally when we had Julian.
Multiple raids.
He said multiple raids in a year. I'm like, okay. But then when they say on stage, second raid is coming out later this fall. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Multiple means more than one.
Yeah,
so
it's
technically.
True.
Technically.
That is true. But it sounded per episode a new raid. That's what I thought.
I like what they're doing with this, though, because they're taking Bungie's original formula for content for Destiny 1. Like, right. You know, you got your base with Bog, and then you got the Dark Below, which I still think is an Outcast album in my mind, but I know it's not. But it just keeps going. And I would be surprised if we get two raids for this first year drop. I think they're going to have some weird presence for E3 next year and being like, here's what's happening if they do it, if they don't announce it in January after we're taking back New York again or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Pete, from Division?
There was.
So with regards to your survival thing, it was one of the things I asked him, because I was like, look, from one agent to another, it's the question on every single agent's mind. Where is survival? And he wouldn't tell me it's not happening, but I looked at him and I was like, that's not a no. So, I mean, I don't know how much of that is him or, you know, just, you know, Massive in general saying, you know, we're not doing it. But when he says we're not talking about that at this time or something along those lines, it sounds more as if we're not ready to talk about it. It's the one thing that I've been looking forward to the most. He said everything from the Division 1 was coming over, and that's the only thing that's sorely missed. And so they know about it.
Yeah, I think with the current state, we've seen quite a bit pushed back, where we were hopeful that we would see survival, or I was a big Underground fan. So I was hoping to see some Underground come with perhaps even the Pentagon, due to the fact that there's a lot of Underground tunnels, and it would be, in my mind, a great place to do it. But it does feel like that they're going to push that back. We might see survival or Underground maybe next year, year two kind of thing. There's some balancing.
I'm curious if they're following the same roadmap of launch. We're going to have a couple of dust ups in the middle while they're fixing and tweaking and tuning things. And I just hope it doesn't take 18 months to get to that patch 1.6 ish area, because that's when I think things started going trending back upwards, and then ultimately culminating in 1.8. But I think from that, I think we're still getting to that 1.6 era, right? And I just hope having them, gone through the struggles of the Division 1, that they know what to fix or how to fix or how to approach those challenges, and can resolve them sooner so that we can get the Underground. We can get survival, and we can get multiple raids.
Yeah,
there's a big crowd that are going back to Division 1 to play survival. I mean, there's still a strong, thriving survival community, still creating events around survival. It's a big deal. I would love to see it, but
I think it's going to take some time. Maybe episode 2, maybe, right? Between 2 or 3, we might see that, you think? No?
With the DC outskirts, I think anything's pretty much possible, but I think they're definitely holding their hand. I don't think we got what we're actually getting.
No.
I think it was just a general, like, hey, we're still a game. Please play us. But
think about we're still 3 months from launch.
Yeah. It feels longer for some
reason. It feels like, because we all poured hours and hours and hours into
Boomer alone.
Yes, that is true.
Poured hours into this title, and it's only been 3 months. It's almost as if we're not taking that into account.
How long it took for the Division 1 to get all that stuff throughout the first year? Was it a long time, or it was after 1.8? Or
obviously we got Underground first year. Right?
Survival was first year, I think. Because I remember I was on the PTS for Survival when that was a thing, and it was me and Tanks like teaming up together, but she took all the medicine, so I kept dying like before we extracted. So what had happened was, is like after we had played Survival on the PTS for like 4 days straight, like they realized no one was actually testing any of the changes they had done, so they took away Survival from us. And I mean, that's how beloved that mode is. Like, people really wanted that weird battle royale feel, and they got it. So
But,
and it's funny, speaking of, if there was ever a game mode that I think the Division was tailor-made for would be a battle royale. And we're not going to see it, in my opinion.
I mean, it's good that they didn't add it, though, man. I really didn't want to see that.
I'm a battle royale fan. So
our theory was like, you know, the name Massive, it could be a massive amount of players. Like, you know, it was, we were thinking about all that.
Mine was more so that you could have the gas creeping in, forcing players to get into that final battle with each other. And I don't know if we would want to have some kind of, I would assume it would have to be normalized, because you'd have a lot of randomized players jumping in as opposed to trying to go in, you know, with their, you know, perked out builds and stuff. But I think it suits it well. Imagine a close quarter combat type environment where you're going, popping up with cover and things like that while the gas is creeping in.
Now, if they do have that, have to also edit. But also have but have enemies too all over the place, kind of like Warzone from Halo, like something
dope.
Like that, right?
Oh yeah, having players, faction battles going on while that happens.
Is that like kind of like a Dark Zone kind of? Or
I was
not?
Gonna say, I mean, this feels like they use the current maps that they have for the Dark Zone, and that was just like a toggle. Like, if you wanted to switch that on and pour 50 players in the size of the Dark Zones that we have now, I think that would be an incredible. It's too much.
You think it's too many players for that small area, though?
Probably, but I mean, you could definitely. I mean,
yeah, we'd be playing at 12 frames per second, but
yeah.
Or have them inside, like in buildings or stuff, right? Like, right, that would work, maybe. I don't know. Huh.
That would be interesting.
I feel like we haven't learned lessons from PlayStation Classic Mag.
Oh yeah.
Oh damn.
I never got to play the game because I spent like 2 years on that. I remember I would spend more time updating than I would actually ever playing the game. I think I only ever played it once.
And you know what? Every time he plays, like the servers are down. Like it's not even working.
And those were the days of PlayStation and their horrendous update packages, right? It would take forever to download.
Yes.
It would take forever to install. And it was just abhorrent. And I spent more time downloading and updating than I did playing at any given time.
All right. Other games that's similar to this. Let's talk about Ghost Recon, man. Have you guys had a chance to actually sit down and play the game or what?
Yeah. So I played a mode of it, and then I played something on the E3 floor that was way better than the mode of it that I played.
Okay.
So, considering where it was to where it is now, it's very good. It's very polished for an alpha.
What did you actually play at on the show floor? Is that what we may have done at the pre-conference? It was just the mode where you're going down. You have to save the doctor.
I think so. I was still really drunk at the moment, so
no offense.
Hey, Ubisoft knows how to party, man. Yeah. It looks way smoother than it was. So that's a good step. You know, we were talking about it on the show last night. I was desperately trying to break in to talk about Ghost Recon, but we're still on Watch Dogs as a a hole because that was like the big thing, and it's
that was the talk of the show. You know, I mean, of course, everybody's talking about Cyberpunk and excuse me, sorry, Cyberpunk, Dying Light 2, and Watch Dogs. Everybody's talking about that.
We got invited to check out Dying Light 2, but that email went to my spam folder. So I was hustling like the last 3 weeks before E3.
You should go tomorrow. Yeah, it's less people. Chances are good for you to check it out. But yeah, go tomorrow.
Problem is General pops in at the same time as us. So,
Well, I was gonna say that Ghost Recon, when we were doing their interview, I know they mentioned during the announcement, "Oh, we're gonna have raids." So I was like, okay, are they going to have like more than four players? Because they never mentioned anything about amount of players. And even when Julian announced the Division 2, first thing he said, 8-player raids. So I was like, all right, I got to ask this question. So I asked, who was it that we interviewed?
Sebastian.
Yes. What is he? I'm trying to remember.
Developer.
Just put developer.
He's a very nice man.
Yeah. So I asked him about that. And he's like, look, Ghost Recon should always be four. You have more players that you add in the game. It's not Ghost Recon anymore. And I think it makes sense. Now, I'm wondering how that's going to be, man, raid-wise for four players. Because that I know for a fact that's not going to be that easy. It has to be really, really tough. But the good thing is it's going to be a lot easier to find friends instead of finding eight to play with you, like the Division.
I'm really curious about that, too, because we see in the Division, it's a very DPS build.
Build-centric.
Very build-centric. I want to see something mechanic-centric. I want to see real, living. You got to do this, that, and the other. And I think that makes sense for a smaller group. You've got to play smarter.
Yeah. And take your time. Yeah. Take your time. Yeah.
I just want to cover myself in mud like that one.
Do the prone.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to tell us there's going to be a survival mode without telling us there's a survival mode. And like, I'm super into that because like when I grew up, I got very sick and there's like a movie store up the street. So I watched like the Predator movie, like ad nauseum. Yeah. And I'm just
actually,
like, I need
watching
that.
I was watching that just the other night. Actually, it was last night waiting for you to come back. I was watching it here.
Oh, snap. That's
funny. Watching Predator.
That's a sign.
You mentioned that too, because I wasn't a big fan of Wildlands. I got mostly through it and then I just kind of stopped. Other games were around. But as soon as I heard about
the Predator.
Yeah,
the Predator.
And I'm like, that's interesting. That's kind of cool. And you can get like a couple of feet from people and then not know that you're there.
Yeah.
It's a cool mechanic.
Any other games you guys watch that you were like, man, you know what?
You mentioned Watch Dogs. So okay. This is how you segue.
Sorry.
Did you get a chance to
play? Shots fired? Jeez.
That's some tink shade, dude.
Shout out to Taco Truck Lager Beer.
Everyone. It's the beer. It's
cheers.
The beer. Cheers. You know what? Cheers, guys. Cheers man.
Yeah. Cheers.
All right.
So Watch Dogs. Did you guys get a chance to play it on the show floor or behind doors?
It was a hands-off demo.
Hands-off.
But I can tell you it's one of the best hands-off demo I've ever seen. like the flavor text for recruiting people, like we had a ball watching them demo because there's one guy that they showed in our demo who's like 100% plus melee damage. His like negative thing was may die randomly. So like they're really going all out with this. We were talking about how inventive it was on our show the other night and like still drunk, we managed to talk about how this was like such a great thing. But yeah. No, they put a lot of work into it. It's like when you read like items in the Division 2 and it's like the starter stuff. It's like gloves, still moist, may never dry properly or something like that. That's kind of like the feeling I get from Watch Dogs Legion. But God, Watch Dogs Legion is... It's the most impressive alpha I've ever seen in my life. And, you know...
And that's alpha.
It's alpha.
I came to the realization today that I am the world's... I am top 1% worst Watch Dogs player.
What?
It took
what happened?
Me 45 minutes and I barely got through the freaking thing. I spent more time creeping and crawling and walking around.
Were you an old lady at least?
No, granny? I would say I was... I looked like my English teacher from elementary school. She was a slightly portly 38-year-old lady.
I'm trying to figure out, Pete. You had 45 minutes... Why took you so long? Like
because you were
trying
horrible.
To set up the computer.
At one point I couldn't get in, and then a random guard came around the corner and saw me like manipulating my remote control like little spider character thing.
Wait, they could see that?
Well, he was walking around.
Oh,
he was just random. He was on random patrol around because, all right, so my mission had to, I had to break into Scotland Yard and delete data in a server in order to recruit a person to come over to DedSec. And I ended up turning around instead of, I went into default left trigger, zoom in, ADS shoot. And I'm in Scotland Yard. So all the cops started chasing me. Oh, I took down like six cops, jumped the wall, jumped into a car, and started driving around the city. Like,
was there helicopters? Helicopters after
no, you? Not yet. And of course, I'm the bloody American. So I'm driving on the right side of the road, cramming into everybody, yelling at them, wondering why they're on the wrong side of the road.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, thank God for the patient Ubisoft guy next to me who is like, you're in England. You're supposed to be driving on the left side. And I was like, I should know this. I've been there.
Oh, no. So don't do that in real life, though.
Everything I know from James Bond movies didn't prepare me for this.
At all. And so eventually, actually, a random DedSec agent actually pinged me on the screen and said, I'm running something that's going to stop all the cops from chasing you. And I was just like, they know I'm bad. And so finally I made my way back, used my spider, crawled in, got the key, was able to delete the data, and came back out. And I was like uberly proud. You know, like, I actually did it.
That's cool.
You know, and
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
I do like that they brought the spiders back because in Watch Dogs 1, that spider tank minigame, I probably logged more hours of that. just playing that, like, spider tank, climbing on buildings, I'm spider tank.
Now, is it easy to choose who you want to pick?
Like, it's up to you. It's the total random
choice. I know
choice.
It's up to me, but you took like a long time, like, all right, let me find the right person. I'm going to just pick a random person.
The character
there.
For which I was trying to do it, he was anti-DedSec. And so I was like, I took that as a personal challenge to try to do what I had to do to recruit this guy to come over.
You weren't playing Double Dare. You were playing Watch Dogs.
And so I took that as a challenge. Like, you know what? He had of all the people I had scanned and saved to my contacts, he was all the way red. And he was not supposed to be part of DedSec. I was like, no, that's the perfect guy. That's who I want. Mm. And he did like something like 100% damage to, you know, in melee. And I was just like, oh, perfect. And
except he didn't die randomly.
No. And then, you know, I got him recruited over. And then that's when, by that time, they were like, okay, now you're supposed to start your mission, but your time is up, so you're going to have to get up. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I just now got the hang of it. But, you know, que sera, sera. It was not meant to be. But
after watching it, though, I think it was interesting that you are, how heavily you are rewarded for good play.
Mm-hmm.
Taking your time, being patient, being tactical, and how heavily you are punished when you mess up. And that was a common theme with everybody trying to find that balance between it. And it's actually a lot of fun just watching them go through and destroy and enjoy the mayhem of it. Like, there were some folks there that were playing it like Division.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I did that first time.
You were just bum rushing in there?
No, I came in and I was trying to be stealth, but random guard A just decided, I'm just going to come around this corner that I've never gone around. And there I was. Mm. And so, you know, instincts kicked in and left trigger, shoot. Yeah. ADS fire.
We were talking about how we wanted to just recruit people out of a retirement home to do the, to make the sequel to Red 2, Red 3.
Yes. Yes.
I thought that'd be great.
All the elderly retirees coming in.
Yeah.
I tried finding one. I couldn't find one. So then I just defaulted to the first random.
Do you pick the location too, or just how that works? Like, how it just randomly shows like a person?
In the demo that we played, you randomly get dropped in a spin. And I was in a bar.
In London,
a bar. Right. And so from there, they were like, go ahead, just like start scanning people and saving them to your contacts if you feel they're comfortable or if you feel like they could be an asset. So I would scan them and I'd, yeah, no, next, and then go to the next person and I just pick the one that I decided, you know.
You know, I want to be that breakdancer in the middle of like a park. It's like all the tourists there. I want to be that.
They said there's living statues. Like, that's what I'm most interested in. Like, I want to recruit a living statue and just do a mission. And like, when someone sees me, just do a pose. They'll be like, oh, it's just a statue. Kind of like Metal Gear, where it's like, oh, it's just a box. But
yeah. If you have the, Sage, if you have a, a choice to pick somebody from a person from the game doing something, what do you think would be the right choice for you?
I got to say, I was most impressed with the granny. Like,
the granny. Everybody likes the granny.
A whole squad of grandmas. The way she just kind of trots up behind me.
And you know what? Nobody will notice.
No.
Honestly, do you think?
I'd want the 8-year-old child.
Wait, can you pick a child?
I don't know, but that would be fantastic. Just have little kids. Just have like
hey, go away, boy. Go away.
Just have little kids. Just have like a whole like have like a tribe of like 20 little 8-year-olds running at you. That's almost be a nightmare for most people.
Little Jimmy has a taser, everyone.
Or maybe
brass knuckles.
Or maybe a DJ. While he's like DJing live and he's like, you know what, I'll be right back, and just
spinning albums and cutting people's heads off.
And just leave. Yeah. That would be great.
They did mention we get to see them like in their everyday jobs and stuff. Yes. So if we need to like take them, like we can actually go find them at their job and
no way. Yeah.
There's a lot of info on the characters as you're scanning them, like a lot. You see their pressure points, their friend. It'll say friendship, and it looked like there's a difference between seeing, say, two gentlemen that work together. It says colleague. So they'll be affected, say, if they were killed in the world. They're affected by that, but they're not as affected, say, if they were family or they were close friends. And it tells you that. That's a lot of mechanic.
It is.
That's
a lot of math.
There was two women at the bar. And it said, I scanned it and said, on a date till 1 a.m. And then I scanned the person sitting next to them. And by default, I was like, oh, this one told me she's on a date till 1. That's not who she's, that's not, you know, that's like, that was like maybe like the side piece or something. But no, it actually says, no, this is her girlfriend. Like, you know, she was like, supports LGBTQ. And I was just like, okay, that's cool. It's, you know, that's a dope inclusion in there.
That's cool.
But me being the scumbag, I was just like, oh no, she's cheating. She's at the bar talking to us. She's supposed to be on a date till 1. Oh, she's cheating.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's the first game that you ever seen something like that, man. I've never seen that you have so many choices. Like, that's crazy how they pulled that off. Ubisoft. They got to give it to them.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Montreal.
And just going through the city. Like, and Ubisoft has always had a phenomenal skill set in the way that they display cities, right? Obviously with The Division 2, going back to that, and the way that they use GPS. But I mean, you go back to like AC Syndicate and the way they did old school London, right? And now they're coming back to London, but in the new way. And then seeing the map and seeing like Trafalgar Square, Piccadilly Circus, Leicester Square, every Camden, every major component is there. The only thing I didn't see was maybe the M&M World in Leicester Square. But the way that they've been able to replicate the whole city is
crazy.
It's amazing.
As much time as they spent on the video as well. That was a pretty long reveal.
It is long.
Right. Yeah. That was a pretty long one. And it didn't do it justice if you didn't get to see it or play it in your case. But if you didn't get to see it in 4K on the floor, it didn't do it justice. It wasn't enough to really get the width and breadth of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot there.
The crazy thing is, it's coming out in 2020. Almost every game that I like comes out early 2020. I don't know what to do. Like,
start
it's
banking
so
dollars,
many
dude.
Games.
Put
like
$5 away a week.
What? Okay, besides, let's say Watch Dogs. Is there any other game that's coming out 2020? You're like, man, I don't know. This is a lot that's coming out during the same time. Because it's either February or March. A lot of them coming out.
I'm pretty picky with my games. I think that I'm most excited now about Watch Dogs. I mean, that's...
Oh, that's hands down. That's
not Just Dance?
But look at Cyberpunk.
Not Just Dance?
Cyberpunk is coming out in April.
Well, it has a place.
You do play Just Dance, though, don't you? It's okay to admit,
you
dude.
You promised me we wouldn't talk about
this. I know. I'm sorry. We're breaking up.
You know what? I one thing that I noticed about Just Dance, it's coming up for the Wii.
Yep.
Still getting Wii support. Wow. But you know what? There's a lot of people that still have that system that don't have the new ones, and probably that's the only game they will buy. Just Dance.
Yeah. Or Wii Bowling. I mean,
no, Wii Bowling. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy that we still getting that support from Ubisoft. That's crazy.
For sure.
Insane.
I don't, you know, I've never had a problem with anything that Ubisoft's done. Like, it's really the only publisher like I don't have like any minor beef with at all. Like Blizzard, whatever. I play Diablo and I'm an apologist for whatever they're doing all the time, especially because World of Warcraft's just a dumpster fire right now. Mm-hmm. But Hey, Ubisoft's always been pretty good. Like, even, I hate to say it, Assassin's Creed Revelations, for as much as people didn't like that game, like, I still kind of enjoyed. So, I mean.
Yeah. It's not that bad. It's good.
Yeah, I like Ezio. Like,
I mean, they had their bumps here and there, you know, and but now I feel like they're hungrier than ever, man. I remember there was a time that nobody even mentioned them at all. Like, it was either EA or other companies, but now lately it's all about them now.
I was glad these games. That the symphony that started the press conference.
Oh, that was amazing. That was really
I'm glad that was the only thing Assassin's Creed related that we saw the entire conference.
Yeah, that was good.
I got a little misty-eyed when they showed Black Flag on the screen.
Yes.
That's my favorite Assassin's
yeah.
Creed game.
Yeah, it's really good.
I platinumed it, and then I went over to Xbox, and I 100% all the achievements on that. I haven't done it on PC yet, but I just, the music in that game and everything else, like, it's so hard for me to play Odyssey or Origins because Black Flag was like where they capped out for me. And I'm like, they're never going to make a game better than this.
Yeah. Until Skull and Bones comes out.
Yeah. Skull and I was disappointed when I heard that it got delayed because that game was that we played.
Same team that made
same
Black
team.
Flag.
Yeah.
Well, that made all of the naval
components. Combat and Black Flag and yes. Rogue.
Yeah. We, when was it? Was it last year?
It was last year.
Last year we got to play the game.
Yeah, last year.
It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could tell that. Need at work, but overall it was a lot of fun. Lot
I think
fun.
I was the only player in the lounge that actually took out a bounty hunter in
you were.
Skull and Bones.
You were.
I took out three other star players in like 5 minutes. I took out Tony T and like nice. Two other people. I only know it was Tony T because he got up and walked away like looking real bad. I'm like, oh shit, I thought that was you. Yeah. But yeah, I was with one of the star player guys and she's like, I'm being attacked by a bounty hunter, and I'm like, hold on, I'll take care of it. I just kept like going around. It's like
yeah.
It's just one of those things. Skull and Bones is probably going to be one of their best PvP games that they have, I think, especially with the naval combat. Naval combat and PvP, it's just, my heart.
You know what? But now that got delayed, might as well just release it to like the next gen consoles. Why? Or and both. Or you could release it next gen and current gen. Do it like that, right?
Yeah, I think it would work. I mean, especially with all the crossplay stuff and cross save and everything
exactly.
that's been going on, what do you have to lose? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like when Xbox 360 and Xbox One came out, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. You had all the games that were on both, and it's like, why not both?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else, Pete? Are we good?
I'm blanking.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
You want to talk about Just Dance 2020?
There you go. Let's do it.
Actually, I'm proud. I'm actually happy that I got that email that said new sound pack for Rocksmith.
Oh.
New Trivium DLC 2. As the heavy metal head, dude.
Yeah, he was
me excited, man.
He was excited. I was editing, and I hear Pete. Ooh, all right. I'm like, what happened? And then he mentioned that.
He's like, yeah, man. There's a new DLC for Trivium on Rocksmith, and I'm a fan.
Yeah, he plays that. He plays that. You still stream that game?
No, but I will now. I'll be right back onto it now because now I got three amazing songs from them. So yeah,
it's all good, man. All right, one more time. Mention. Name of the podcast and how they can find you, and make sure to subscribe, guys. We need everybody to support podcasters, man, you know, so go for it.
We're a growing niche, so please, by all means, check out Bombshell Jackets on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. We're on Spotify and all that.
Weekly, right?
Pretty much weekly, unless something major happens with
breaking
family
news.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's breaking news, sometimes you get it just twice a week and it's the worst. I'm so sorry for that. But yeah, we're on there, and you can check us out on the Ninja Pancake, ninjapancake.com. It's our like kind of in-house podcast family where all of our friends who do podcasts, we just throw on a site. So
yeah, how many podcasts there?
There's like 10.
So it's kind of like a network, right?
Three or four of them are inactive at this point because life. But you know, you can still listen to some of the back episodes, and they're pretty funny.
That's good. That's good. What was that, Pete?
He's got his own phone soundboard.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. That sounded like a goat.
It was.
Oh,
it was a goat sound.
Okay. So, social media, how people could follow you guys, man?
I'm at Rempancy, R-E-M-P-A-N-C-Y. Why? Because I have to spell it out on every episode of our show.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter at Orenji Irosage, O-R-E-N-J-I-I-R-O-S-A-G-E.
Cool, man. I just want to say... cool that we finally got to record. Right? We see each other at a couple of events and we're like, hey, hi, bye, okay, later, bye, see you next time. Like, but now we actually sat down and and recorded, man. So thank you for taking your time to come and record.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
And we did it without Paris here.
Without Paris.
I'm so sorry. Like, I'm in Paris's clan, and I feel like he's ducking me. Like, he's like, oh, my Remy's going to be there. My alternator's not working.
funny, all right, but thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.